بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, about the fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الصوم لي وأنا أجزي به, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the fast is for me and I will reward it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave unspecified rewards for many other or all other ibadat. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the reward of a hajj that is accepted is that a person will come out from there like he was born from his mother's womb, meaning completely free of sins. Allah will forgive all the sins. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned reward for zakat, which is the purification of wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned reward for salah and so on. But for fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will reward. Now, which means that the reward for fasting is unlimited. Allah only knows how much. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one fast. And he's not talking about the fard fasting of Ramadan, which supersedes everything else. He's talking about any random one fast, any nafil fast at any time of the year. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one fast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the person from the hellfire for a distance of, the exact number I forgot now just now in the hadith, but I think I mentioned it in the last one. Of so many hundred, so many months. Now, journey of that many months, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say journey by camel, by some terrestrial vehicle or on a horse, or it can be journey on anything. Wallahu a'lam. So the point is that the fasting is so important. Now, why is it so virtuous? One of the reasons, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but one of the reasons is because the fast, nobody else knows about it. Ramadan is different, but even in Ramadan, I mean, you can't just look at a Muslim and say he's fasting. How do you know? We don't know whether he's fasting or not fasting. And on other days, we definitely don't know. Nobody can say. So the fast is something which is secret, which is quiet by itself. Only Allah knows. Similarly, if you take in terms of salah, now, the first salah, of course, is public. It is, azan is called and we pray in jama'ah in the masjid. But for the salah, which is the most highly virtuous, which is tahajjud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if they knew for praying tahajjud, if they knew what I have kept for them, hidden for them, kept hidden, if they knew that, it would be the coolness of their eyes. So again, this is a prayer which is only you know that, nobody else knows. Right? Now, the reason I am saying it is because of the importance of guarding our good deeds. Shaitan does his work in two ways. One is he leads you to do something which is haram, or he makes you leave something which is fard. Now, where he can't do that, where he knows, inshallah, all of you are among that, inshallah, where shaitan cannot take you to do something haram, and he cannot make you leave a fard, then what he does is, he tries to reduce the reward, or he tries to nullify or cancel out the reward of what you are, of the good you are doing. Now, he reduces the reward in two ways. One is by encouraging you to do something in a way which is less virtuous and less beneficial than another. For one simple example is, he will tell you or he will encourage you to pray at home instead of going to the masjid. So he's not saying don't pray, he's saying no, pray at home. After you're praying. But if you pray at home, first of all, when you can go to the masjid, deliberately not to go to the masjid is a different issue. I mean, that itself is something to fear Allah's anger about. But the point is, if you pray at home or wherever, instead of going to the masjid, you are getting a reward for one time. Whereas the same salah in the masjid in Jama'ah is 27 times the reward. So he made He made you lose 26 times the reward just like that. So this is one way. The other way that Shaitan does is by making you announce your good deeds. So you tell people. You build a masjid and you put the name board on this masjid. A masjid of so and so. So now you built a masjid, alhamdulillah. Allah knows you build the masjid for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does Allah not know? Does Allah have to look at the name board to say who is this? No. But he makes you do this. He put this big name board, say masjid of so and so. Right? The biggest fitna of our generation, or actually your generation, which is Facebook. Yeah? So whatever you do, immediately you take a photo and you put it on Facebook. So now the whole world knows. This is what you did. You gave some 10 rupees in charity or something and you put it on Facebook. Giving charity also in a public way. For example, you go and give something to some poor people, but then you have your media people there. They are taking videos and they are taking photographs and so on. And you are calling this person and giving this charity. And you are saying, oh, this person is so-and-so is so poor. But, you know, I am giving him this charity. This fellow, his father was a rickshaw puller. But I have given him charity so that he now goes to college. And so on and so forth. So all of this drama and tamasha happens. And all your media people are taking photos and so on and so forth. And you are posting on the internet. Now the problem is, all of this, what you actually did was that you were doing a good thing, alhamdulillah. But by this action, you have nullified this deed. It has gone, become worthless. Now, what is the dalil? Why am I saying that? First and foremost, the first hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, Innama al-amalu bin-niyat, narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, which all of us know, that the basis of the deed, the reward of the deed is based on the intention. If the intention is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will reward. If the intention is anything else, Allah will not reward. Now you might say, no, my intention is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what the publicity does is it brings you in the middle of that. Now if you know, I'm a great guy because I did all this work. We have on the other hand also, you know, our all internet shuyukh, Allah protect us from them. So, there is some lecture or some course or something which he is doing. And most of them, they also take money for that. And then he will post a promo video, a promotional video to say, I am going to be teaching this course, such as, please come. I am speaking at this particular event, please come. Now, the promotional video is a prerequisite. Now, promotional thing is part of the, they are paying you a fees, so they want to make sure that they can recover the money. So they say that you must also do a promotional video to say, I am going to be speaking at this and this place, because they want to make sure people come. Now the reason I am saying all this is because the issue of niyyah is very, very critical. If your niyyah gets corrupted by, there are two things which corrupt the niyyah. Rasulullah said, it's like two wolves in a sheep pen. What do you think will happen? You have two wolves in a sheep pen, you have dead sheep, that's it. Khalas. He said, one is money, the other one is fame. One is money, the other one is fame. So you're doing something, but somewhere the thing of showing to others comes up. Now, anyone who tells me that having his face in some place or his name somewhere and so forth, it doesn't affect his niyat, I will say you are delusional, you are drunk, you are insane. This doesn't happen. Believe me, we are human beings. There is nobody but nobody who is unaffected by that. It's a different issue where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes something to be known. Without your effort, you have not done anything for this, you didn't make the effort, you didn't tell anyone, do that. Somehow, somewhere, some place, your name comes up. That's a different issue. You are not responsible for that. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does for you, that is Bashara. But if you had anything to do with it, whether it is money or whether it is name, then fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second hadith which relates to this is the famous hadith, it's called the hadith of the Thalath, the three. And again, I mentioned this many times, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna dhikra tanfa'ul mu'mineen, repeating and reminding is beneficial for the believers. So I'm repeating. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, the first three people to be thrown into the hellfire, the first one is a shaheed fi sabilillah. He's a martyr who died in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be produced before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be asked, what did you do? He will say, Allah, I fought in your path and I died in your path. It will be said, you are a liar. You did that because you wanted the name and the fame. Then you got that. It was given to you. Now it's the hellfire for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he will be dragged on his face and thrown into the hellfire. The second one is an alim who will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be asked, what did you do? He will say, I learned the Quran, I learned the deen, and I taught this for your pleasure. It will be said to him, you are a liar. You did that so that you will be known as Sheikh Fulan bin Fulan. This happened. You were given the name and the fame. Now there is nothing for you, and he will be thrown into the hellfire. Who is this? Somebody who is shahid fi sabilillah. Other one, somebody who is hafiz Quran and alim and mufti and God knows what. The third one will be the wealthy person who was very charitable, who is very philanthropic. Now he will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be asked, what did you do? He will say, Allah, I spent whatever wealth you gave me, I spent in your path. I did not leave any place. Wherever you like money to be spent for your sake, I spent the money. And this is what I did for you. It will be said to him, you are a liar. You did that so that you will be known as a charitable person. There is nothing for you here, and he will be thrown into the hellfire. Now people give the dalil. They say that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu also did charity publicly. This dalil is false. Because the only time that I know, and alhamdulillah I have studied the seerah, the only time that they did it publicly was at the time of the fundraising of Tabuk. And they did not do it publicly for public sake. They did it because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in public and saying, who will donate? So they came and donated. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came and donated. Sayyidina Umar came and donated. How much they donated was in what they said was in a direct answer to a question by the Rasul alayhi salam. They didn't come with a banner saying donated by Abu Bakr. No. They came and they gave, and they did it in public because it was happening in public. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting there. He said, who would bring it here? They came. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu also and many others. Right? If you see their charitable deeds, many of them came to be known only after they died. So you can't take the dalil of one deed which was done in public and forget all the other deeds which were done in private. The story of the old woman which Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, I have mentioned this many times, used to go and, you know, take care of her and so on and so forth. When was this known? After he died. This became known after he died. Similarly, as far as taking money is concerned, yes, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, this is another dalil which is given. I'm telling you seriously, the road to Jahannam is paved with dalail. Seriously, this is my quote. The road to Jahannam is paved with dalil after dalil after dalil, given by people who are giving dalail in their own self-interest. So they give the dalil, they say, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu took a salary. Now the story is that after he was made Khalifa, he was going to the market for his normal day's work, and Sayyidina Umar saw him. He said, where are you going? He said, I'm going for my business. He said, you do business, who is going to look after the state? So we will fix a salary for you. He reluctantly agreed. The salary that was fixed for him was 2 sheep in 3 days. So 1.5 sheep per day. First of all, what that is not a career move he was doing, right? This was a salary that was fixed was a subsistence wage for food. That's it. Number one. Then what does he do? How many years was he Khalifa? 2 years. On his deathbed, he calls Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha and he says, go and find this piece of paper which I have got, this document, which is the document of a land which I own, Go after I have died, go and give it to Umar ibn al-Khattab, who will be the Khalifa, and tell him, put this into the Baytul Mal. He said, the value of this land is more than anything that I have taken from the state as salary. Salary is gone, null and void. When Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha gave this document of this land deed to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu sat down, he held his head and he wept and he said, your father has made it very difficult for us. So the people who give this dalil of salary, they don't give this dalil. That's why I said the road to Jahannam is paved with these kinds of lame dalail. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu himself, his son Abdullah bin Umar, I'll forget about how hard he was on himself. His son Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu goes, there was a piece of land in Medina which was a public land, public grazing land. So anybody could come and graze their animals and so on there. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu goes to the market. He sees his son Abdullah bin Umar, who was a businessman, he was selling some camels. So he said, where did these camels graze? He said, where are all the other camels graze? Public land. He said, these camels, give them to the Baytul Mal. Abdullah bin Umar said, this is my property. This is my property. I own this. I paid for this. You are confiscating my property on what basis? Sayyidina Umar said, they graze in the public land. Abdullah ibn Umar said, everybody's camels graze in the public land. Public land is meant for grazing. He said, no. Your camels graze in the public land. You are my son. Therefore, it is possible that other people gave some precedence to your animals. And your animals may have eaten more grass or better grass or God knows what. Right? Compared to the grass of other animals. Because you are my son, they may have given you this precedence. Therefore, What insaf is this? This is the insaf of somebody who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Right? Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu was the governor of Iraq. So Abdullah ibn Umar and his brother Asim ibn Umar, these two were in Iraq. They were coming back from Baghdad to Medina. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he says to them, here is some money which I have to give to your father. Meaning, this is state money to be transferred to the Khalifa. So since you are going, can you take this money? They said, yes, sure, we can take the money. But is it permissible for us? Now they are asking a masala to the Khalifa, to the governor. And Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu was a great alim. He was capable of it. So they said, is it permissible for us? We are taking this money, we are going there, many months journey and so on. So can we buy some goods here with this money and we go to Medina and we sell the goods and the money which we have to give to the Khalifa, we will give. If there is a loss, we will put money from our side. We will make it up. But if there is a profit, can we take this profit? So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said, no problem, you can do that. So they did this. Instead of carrying that cash or gold or whatever it was, they bought some things here in Baghdad. They came to Medina. They sold the thing there. Now Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, obviously, you can't be doing something in Medina and Sayyidina Umar does not know. So he came to know this. So when they brought the money, he said, how much money? This much. He said, how much did you make on this trade? They said, this much. He said, put everything into the Baytul Mal. They said, we asked the masala whether it is legal or not for us to do this. We were told it is legal. We have not done anything wrong. When Sayyidina Umar said this actually, Asim said to Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, he said, ask this question. Our father is doing injustice on us. Abdullah ibn Umar said, I will not ask him anything. So Asim asked him radiallahu anhu. So he said to him, we have not done anything illegal. Why are you preventing us from taking our halal income? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, you are my sons. You are doing this. People don't know the whole story behind this. They will come to all kinds of conclusions about me as the Khalifa. Therefore, sorry. Now, when people say that Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar also took this, took that, take the whole life. Don't just take one incident. They did not take. They did not take. They feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His anger. They were very, very conscious about the purity of their niyyah because they understood this. Innamal a'malu binniyat. How can the man who quoted this hadith do something where his own niyyah is compromised? Just imagine, think about this. Right? Now I am saying this is very important because alhamdulillah, there are a lot of people who will do charitable stuff in this month of Ramadan. Right? This is the month we normally give zakat and so on, and you will find people going and giving hampers in Ramadan, iftar hampers to all the pythons that are there, Muslim pythons, because they eat only once in a year. Right? Rest of the 11 months you forget about them. It's only in Ramadan you give them. So all Muslim pythons. And then you give all other charitable things, and then you find various functions are organized and so on and so forth. Please, 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 please guard your niyyah. Do, if you are doing charitable work today worth $1 million, do work worth $100 million. I don't care, it's your money. Spend it. Spend it and spend it and spend it day and night. But do it only and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not let anybody know what you are doing. Right? Don't let anybody know what you are doing. Do it quietly. Don't put your name anywhere. Don't put your photo anywhere. Make it a condition to say, I will give this charity provided my name and my photo does not come anywhere. If you are not going to guarantee me that, sorry, I will not give you the charity, I'll give it to somebody else. Make this a condition. As I told you, if Allah wants your name to be known, He will make it known. Allah is not dependent on anybody. But the best person is the one who dies without his name known. His name is known only to the one who will reward him, and he did the deed for that person. No name and fame, and never ever take money for the work of deen. Once again, there are dalail on both sides. I am telling you that which is the best. You want to catch hold of some dalil and say, and also do it, I'll do it, it's your life. But I am telling you that which is the best. So please make absolutely certain that these two things you follow completely strictly, inshallah. Don't allow shaitan to destroy whatever good we do. How much do we do anyway? So whatever little we do, don't allow shaitan to destroy that by taking away your niyyah, the ikhlas from your niyyah, the sincerity from your intention. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.